Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, folks, and welcome to the Elijah Winfrey Show. I am your host, Elijah Winfrey, joined each week by my fabulous, talented, and wonderful co-host, Tony Boucher. We have a great show lined up for you today. We're going to talk a little bit about depression, feeling low, share a few stories, answer a few questions. I'm very excited about this topic, something that Tony and I really wanted to talk to you about, because we know that there are people out there who are going through some things, and sometimes, you know, lending an ear and listening to, you know, someone deal with an issue and offering ways that you can help is always important and very valuable. We are coming to you live today from Chambers Bay Golf Course here in University Place, Washington. I have a practice session right after the show today, and my wife was saying to me, why don't you just, you know, take the tools down there and set up shop down there and kind of do the show from there. That way you can kind of get your work in afterwards before, you know, it gets dark, and you can kind of work out some of the kinks in your golf swing that you need to work out. So we are here today, and I'm excited about that. As we always do, before we get going here today, we talk about the past week, the week that was. And Tony, let's get caught up on what you've been up to this past week. How was your past week?
Yeah, my past week was really busy. I think one of the highlights is that I've been doing an online support group for folks in the state of South Carolina who are caregivers of a loved one on the autism spectrum. And so I've been doing some work on, you know, making that a bigger and better support for people, including having some resources available for folks online. And so I'm real excited about that. You know, just having that connection with somebody when you're, you know, we're talking about depression today, having that connection when you're feeling down or frustrated or alone can really make the difference. So I've really been enjoying connecting with different, you know, folks in this group. So how about you, Eli, besides being live today with us?
Yeah, you know, my week was pretty good. It was business as usual. I got to visit my son's class for his writer's workshop celebration, and that was pretty fun to kind of go in. I'd never been, and to go and see him write and read the stories, and the other kids do the same. It was breathtaking, and it was filled with a lot of love and a lot of energy. Aww. In the classroom. Also, you know. You know, he was pretty shy at first, you know, but then he started to read and then to get with his buddies and kind of, you know, run around the class. And he came back to center, though, and was pretty happy that we were there. And, you know, I love being involved with his school and his school work and watching him grow. And he loves school, you know, something that I had a tough time doing. But it was a treat. I have a few things lined up for the upcoming week that I worked on this past week. I'll be at South Shore Elementary next week as part of Black History Month. We are going to be at South Shore Elementary. 2 years ago, they put together this group where 100 African-American males would show up at the school and, you know, kind of reinforce that, you know, they're good dads out here. They're guys in the community that are doing, you know, great things. And we want to be involved and we want to help kids that, you know, maybe, you know, don't have dads at home. We want to be mentors, but, you know, more importantly, we want to let folks know that, you know, we're out here doing incredible things and giving back to the community and showing love to a lot of people. So I'm excited about that. What else have I been working on? I have a project that the team is currently working on where we're going to do this evenings with dads. And I know we talk a lot about moms, you know, who have children on the spectrum, single moms. But we wanted to cover everything. And so a lot of dads out there who I've met playing golf would approach me and, you know, talk openly about, you know, the issues that they're dealing with their kids or with their relationship with their spouse, and how hard it's been and how they're at a breaking point or a tipping point. And so we wanted to put together this group session, if you will, where we kind of sit down and I chat with them, and, you know, we go bowling and we kind of open ourselves up to things that we can do better to improve our relationships, not only with our with the kids, but with our spouses and everyone in general. So that's in the process of being worked out. You know, hopefully we'll get that going sometime in March. So I'm excited about that. And the golf season is right around the corner. So hence why I'm here at Chambers Bay, really having to get after it. I'll be here tomorrow as well, working on a few things in practice. So it's getting busy, and the busier I get, I think, the better I start to feel. So I'm excited about the weeks and months ahead. So that's what I've been up to in a nutshell. So let's get to the topic of today's show, which is depression and feeling low. Tony and I had a great conversation last week off the air after the show ended about this topic and wanting to do this topic. And, you know, I have a few stories to share about depression and feeling low. As many of my close friends know, and to the listeners who don't know, I have PTSD, and it's pretty difficult. Post-traumatic stress disorder. It's a difficult thing to maneuver and deal with sometimes for me. Every day is a tough day getting going, especially when it's cloudy outside. And, you know, the more gray days we have, the tougher it is sometimes for me to maneuver about and focus on getting things done, because I go back to places that I don't really want to visit. And, you know, I thought it would be best to kind of, you know, share some of this to help others. You know, I know people sometimes say to me, you know, you seem perfect. You seem like you're always happy-go-lucky. And I'm here to tell you that that's not the case. You know, I struggle quite a bit with depression and PTSD, and I'm able to get through it most times because of my willingness to fight. I know I have a pretty good support system, but not everybody has that. And I'm pretty open about, you know, how I'm feeling. And I don't want to have a direct effect on my friends. You know, that's one thing that I've worked on and I'm pretty good at. I've always wanted my friends to feel really good when they're around me and not pick up that that negative vibe. Well, I won't say negative, but that sad vibe that I sometimes, you know, struggle with. But, Tony, I know that our conversation was pretty intense last weekend, you know, off air, and I'm thankful that we decided to do this, because I do think that there are, you know, listeners out there who go through things like this.
Yeah, I was really glad that you shared how you were feeling with me, Eli, because, you know, when you did that, it helped me to really focus in on how I've been feeling, and it was really a positive thing for me to have more awareness. You know, as you know, we talked about the fact that sometimes I'm not in touch with my emotions very well. And so when you said you were feeling down, I was like, oh, I am too. And so that really helped me to be able to look inward. And the beautiful thing about it was that it helped me to be more honest when people, you know, would approach me and say, well, how are you doing? And like you said, not that, you know, we want to bring everybody down and wallow in, you know, feeling sorry for ourselves, but I was honest, just in the same way that you were to me. I said, you know, I'm feeling kind of down. And the person I disclosed, she said, oh, me too. So it was just after having that conversation, we both felt better. I felt better after talking with you. So just bringing it out into the open, I think, is really important. And, you know, it's, I think we live in a society that a lot of times people are walking and smiling, but having that quiet desperation in private. And that's, you know, that's really not helpful, you know, for people to just keep it in. And as a matter of fact, you know, I think the risks of suicide go up. If you tell somebody how you're feeling, somebody you trust, you're holding yourself accountable and getting yourself kind of committed to dealing with how you feel. And so suicide risks are definitely greater if people aren't talking about this stuff. So,
absolutely.
Yeah, and I think, you know, as we were talking about it, my thoughts about, you know, the folks who really we focus on in this show are, you know, your passion is autism, homeless folks, and people who are low income. And autistic people, their families, people who are poor, and people who are living on the streets are all at great risk of depression. So this is something that is really affects a lot of people.
Absolutely.
So I'm
Absolutely.
Really glad we're going to talk about it today.
Absolutely. And what we're going to do, we're going to sprinkle in some questions because we have some great questions about this topic that I got this week. And you know, I do think it's important that you let people close to you know about what you're going through. I know, I'll share a story with you. You know, there was a time where, you know, my son was born and you know, babies cry and whatnot and through the night sometimes. And, you know, he would cry and he would make these very high pitch sounds. I mean, they were high frequency pitch sounds. And it triggered the PTSD. And, you know, I thought I'd had it under control, you know, but I didn't. And it really, really took a toll on me. And it got so bad that I had walked to my wife, you know, and I told her, you know, listen, hey, I don't know if I'm going to be able to control this. I really don't know where I am. But if you want to leave the marriage and go about living your life and being happy, you know, I want you to do that. I don't want to be the cause of you being miserable because I don't know if I can handle this. And I was in a very deep place at the time. And, you know, she looked at me and gave me this very, very mean look. And she said, you know, I'm not going anywhere. I'm not going to give up on you. You know, we're going to get through this. And mind you, she had been doing all of the heavy lifting, all of it, because I couldn't control, you know, my mood. So I had realized that I was putting everything on her. She was having to carry the load you know, be up with him and feed him. And so I felt at that time, this isn't fair to her. And I don't want her to be in this situation. So, you know, how about you just kind of, we just, you know, in the marriage. And she's like, oh no, we're not doing that. And at that moment, I realized she cared about my well-being. She really, you know, she loved me for who I was and wasn't at the time. And so I started to fight and fight and fight, and I would go see therapists and come through it, and I became better for that. And having her at that moment, it really put a lot of things in perspective for me because I was so ready to give up. I was ready to throw in the towel because I had felt like I couldn't do it anymore, you know. I'm very blessed that, you know, she was the core of my support system. She didn't tear me down. She didn't berate me. She just said, I'm just going to love you harder, and we're going to get through it. But you got to help yourself first. You got to go look in the mirror, and you got to say, you know, I'm not giving up. You know, I'm going to go. I'm going to keep fighting. You know, we have a son. You know, you have so much to do and to give back. So, but you got to be the first person to admit that. And, you know, after that day, I really, a lot of the things that would let me go to these moments. Now, I still struggle from time to time, but it's not anywhere close to being the way it was. So I think having a strong support system, somebody there that isn't going to say, or just get over it, or just deal with it, or you need to, you know, do whatever. I'm not going to hold your hand. I think you don't need that. You need somebody who's going to be there to get you to look at yourself in an honest way and admit your faults and insecurities. Sometimes you do have to go back and deal with these issues that are making you feel the way you do. So, I wanted to share that because I know I am going to put up a blog post about this hopefully next week. But would you agree with that? Like having a strong support system is very vital in overcoming a lot of the lowness, the depression.
I just love that story, Eli. I think it's just such a beautiful example of how we can support each other. I mean, your wife really, you know, rose to the occasion and gave you that unconditional love. And as you were talking about it, you know, that was reminding me of situations in my past when I first started dealing with, you know, with trauma experiences in my own life, my own PTSD and my own depression, and they're linked. And I did not have the right people in my life. I was involved in a relationship at the time where the person was not supportive, and it made it a lot harder, you know, to pull through because I didn't feel that unconditional love that you're talking about. So I would say, yeah, I'm just feeling so warm and happy that you had that behind you, because for those of us out here who have dealt with this kind of experience and didn't have the support network, it does make it harder. So it absolutely is. And that's really a litmus test for a good relationship. If, you know, if somebody's going to, you know, back you like that, if somebody's going to pull you down further, that's a sign that they're not a healthy part of your equation, of your life equation,
right.
You know, so I 100% agree with that. That's a great story.
Yeah, you know, I've definitely learned a lot, and sitting through, you know, I would do these therapy sessions where I would sit in with a lot of guys who were quite frankly, they were off the rails, and mm-hmm. all of their stories had a huge impact on me. And the one thing that they would tell me was, you know, you continue to fight. We gave up. We threw in the towel, and look where we are. You know, mm-hmm. we are a danger to ourselves and society. And, you know, but you don't give up because you still have fight in you. And that's what they saw at the time, you know. And they said, you know, it's good that you come in and kind of humble yourself and kind of, you know, tell us these stories. A lot of their stories were too graphic to share on the show, but it definitely got me to a point where I told my director this week, I have loud conversations in the mirror with myself about where I am and mm-hmm. what I need to do and what I need to work on to overcome. Mm-hmm. You know, these days when it's cloudy and not, as you say, wallow in it and just settle. So, mm-hmm. you know, having somebody there that will not judge you.
Hugely important.
Yes, it's very important. So I definitely would encourage that. And, you know, I share these stories with my friends because I feel like if I'm ever in that place again, I have a network now. You know, my wife, my other buddies, Craig Butler, who will say, "Hey, you know, let's talk." Let's not pretend, you
Mm-hmm.
know. I know something's in there. Like, let's go sit down and chat before you know,
Yeah.
pretend that
Yeah.
you're okay. So,
Yeah, and it
yeah.
really is not about pretending you're okay. I mean, it's you know, if you're feeling down or depressed or you're traumatized, that's just the fact of the matter. That is where you're at. You can't just flip a switch and say, oh, it's not happening. So yeah, just having that support is such a good thing.
Absolutely, absolutely, absolutely. Let's take a quick question from Stella in the UK. Stella wants to know, what was the turning point for you to get back on track, or for both of you to get back on track when you're dealing with depression? Wow. You want to take that first? I need to think
Sure,
about that.
yeah. So I went through a point in my life when I felt so hopeless and helpless, and that is one sign that you're depressed if you feel that way. But my thoughts, I was like not sure I wanted to live anymore. And I started thinking about my children, and it was like I was like, oh, well, I have a responsibility to, to get my acts together to work through this because I
Right.
have children. And so I did what so that was a turning point for me. And then what the action that I took that really was the hardest for me, but one that really, really helped was I just wanted to stay in bed. I wanted to sleep all the time. I just didn't have any energy. I just all I wanted to do was stay in bed and sleep. And I knew that that would just keep me in the pattern. So I got up, I got out of bed, I got out of the house when every fiber of my being said, just stay in bed, Tony. And that really shifted things for me to go ahead and have that, that mental awareness that I needed to work through this, so that I could be there for my kids. And then I needed not to just hide away and, all day and, sleep all day in bed. So it was hard to do, but the more I did it, the more I got up and out, the easier it was. And then the other piece for me was actually, I was always a very private person and didn't disclose information to people. And so I also knew I needed to start talking about it. And so I shared, how I was feeling with a very close friend. And that really helped too, because what it did for me is it validated that I was still accepted and loved for who I was, in the same way that it was for you and your wife. My friend didn't dump me as a friend. They went through that with me, and so it really it brought me closer to them, and it allowed me to have more acceptance, for myself in the situation I was in. How about you, Eli?
Well,
Turning point for you.
I have two. Yeah, I have two. The first one we just discussed, Lisa, my son, and being here for them, and the second, I guess, turning point for me was I really wanted to inspire people, give back. As a kid, I always wanted to like see other people smile, like and be a part of that, be a part of that reason. And I had a lot of dreams about doing that and how I was going to go about doing that. And I had a real serious conversation with God about that and wanting to be like a shining light for those who don't have a voice, for those who need a little bit of confidence, in an honest way, not just saying it just because it sounds good and whatnot, but I mean meaning it, and really being there for people. And so I would think about that a lot, I want to make sure that I am helping somebody in an honest, genuine way today. And so those two were turning points for me, and And I know there are people out there who feel the same way, you know. And that's why, you know, you have to find a way to somehow push through. And I know it's easier said than done, you know. I can't tell you how many times I've heard to my face that, you know, you need to just not worry about that and do this, or get over
it. Yeah, snap
everybody,
out of it.
Everybody,
snap out of it doesn't work. Not when
right.
you're feeling
everybody,
that way, you know.
Exactly. You know, or get over it. You know, everybody goes through it. And I, you know, I think that tears you up more than it does healing you. So, you know, I definitely would encourage people to think about that. What do you want to do with your time? How do you want to help the neighbor next to you, your friend next to you? Have a good day. Because I got to tell you, definitely for me, it just brightens my day when I see people happy, and I'm a part of that. And, you know, I love going above and beyond, you know. It may seem corny, but I love it.
Well, I think, you know, it's true, though. And I work a lot of the folks that I work with, teens and adults on the autism spectrum are dealing with a lot of depression, a lot of regrets. And, you know, I deal with a lot of, you know, men and women in their 40s, 50s, and 60s, and a lot of them have a lot of regrets about their lives and a lot of depression. But the one thing that always stands out to me is that everybody in the world has something to offer. And that seems to be the one thing that motivates people is, you know, what is it? What is the potential inside? What is it that they have to offer? What is it that we have to offer? And it's going to be different, you know, for everybody. But, you know, your analogy of being that light that brightens someone's day, you know, that's the thing that you found that works for you. And I think when people find what is it that they know they have to offer, for me, at that point when I was feeling lowest, what I had to offer was being present, being, you know, a mom for my kids. That was, you know, that was my what I had to offer. And I think that's a really, you know, common theme I see when people are feeling down, that motivates people to be strong and do what they need to do, the work they need to do to get into a place where they can offer whatever it is
absolutely
they're meant to offer.
Absolutely, absolutely. Let's take another question from Suresh here in India. Suresh wanted to know, how has PTSD or depression taken a toll on you both mentally and physically? I talked with Tony before we went on the air. For me, it takes me a few days to get back to center. I may lose a few pounds because I'm sensitive about a lot of things. So when I stand or I'm feeling low and down, it really beats me up physically and mentally. And it takes maybe 2-3 days for me to come back to center. And I know, you know, some people will say, I've never heard of that. How is that possible? But, you know, for me, it does. It takes a while because I'm not one to just, you know, kind of be frustrated or feel low, and then all of a sudden I'm happy, you know. I have to reassess and think about why I went to that place and what I need to do to work on myself to not visit that place again. So it takes time for me to come back and have some sense of normalcy, you know, or balance in my life. So what about you, Tony? Does it take a toll on you? How does it take a toll on you physically?
Yeah, I manifest that in real physical ways. Like my appetite decreases. Some people eat more, some people eat less. I'm not hungry. And I get physically ill And it's actually affected me in terms of relationships that I've gotten into that were not healthy. So it's played out in that way. And then I've had to deal with the consequences of being in relationships that were not healthy, you know, and then also staying in relationships that were not healthy. Because when you're depressed and you feel that sense of hopelessness and being stuck, it just adds to it. So it's affected me both physically and then in terms of being stuck in relationships that perpetuated that because they weren't healthy for me to be, you know, being in the first place.
Mm. Wow. Wow. And, you know, it does definitely take a toll. And, you know, we all go about it in a different way, you know. But I think it's good that, you know, we all have the conversation, you know, we all should do that, with somebody that's near and dear to us, you know. There is another story that I want to share, another personal story. When I arrived here in Seattle, to live on the West Coast, but when I got here, I was dealing with PTSD. I was pretty sad. I was in a rough place, and this is before I'd met Lisa and I knew anybody, you know. I was, you know, in and out of hotels, you know. The trust issue for me is very important, and I didn't have that because I didn't know anybody, you know. And it had gotten so bad that I just, you know, wanted to, you know, check out. I didn't want to be here anymore. I, you know, got on the bus one day and just, you know, was feeling so low. I said, you know, I just don't want to be here, you know. And I kept having this conversation in the back of the bus, with God and trying some way to not wanting to be here. And something hit me. I don't know if it was the talk I had with him or what, but, you know, something just said, hey, let's figure out a way to enrich your life. There are so many things you want to do and share with people, but it's going to be kind of hard if you're going to stay here and wallow in it and just sit here, because nobody's going to feel sorry for you. And you gotta find a way to help yourself. And I equate it to, when you start a car, and it doesn't turn over completely, but it's trying to. That's kind of where I was. It was trying to turn over. It was trying to turn over, and all of a sudden, the light came on, and you know I left the airport, and you know I had been on this crusade. And again, it goes back to, I didn't have a support system at the time. So, you know, when you've been told all of your time that you need to get over it, or it's just a fad, you'll go through it, it'll pass. You know, you kind of feel like you're on a boat by yourself in the middle of the ocean, and the waves and the current is just taking you further and further away from the things that mean the most to you. And you know, when I had that moment, I just kind of, you know, I was able to come back ashore and start really working on trying to be a better person, and give my heart to as many people as I possibly could. So it's been a journey. I've enjoyed the ups and downs. I think it makes you better. It makes you stronger. And, you know, you become an advocate for somebody who really needs you out there. And I think that's where, you know, my life is, you know, and that's why I do the things that I do.
Yeah. I think it's important, you know, for those of you who are out there listening who are wondering if, you know, somebody you know might be depressed, or maybe even yourself, but maybe you're depressed. There are a lot of great resources out there, but I think it's important to know what those signs are. And we've already talked about a couple of those, you know, feeling helpless and hopeless. and having, you know, an appetite shift, either eating more or eating less, and, you know, having weight changes as a result. Some of the other things you can watch for in somebody that, you know, you love or in yourself, or have you lost interest in things that you're passionate about or things that you like? If you no longer have the same level of interest, that can be a sign. If you're angry and irritable, sometimes that is a forerunner to the underlying depression. You know, a lot of times people, what we see first is irritability and anger, especially in teens, and we see that a lot with folks on the autism spectrum as well. If you have a loss of energy, or if you're really hard on yourself, you have that kind of self-depreciation or self-hatred, you know, you're always doing that negative self-talk, like, oh, you can't ever do anything right, you're no good, the world would be better off without you. If you're saying those things to yourself, or you have a loved one that's saying those things, then that's, you know, that can be a sign that you or that person are in a depressed state. And, you know, we don't want anybody to be in the situation Eli was in when he was heading out, where he was feeling alone. You know, if you're noticing those signs, it's a good idea to get help and reach out. And there are, you know, there are the traditional, you know, things that people do, getting the therapy, the counseling. But something that I have learned with my folks on the autism spectrum is depression can be related to your health. So, you know, in both our situation, we've had PTSD, which is related. You know, we had traumatic situations that occurred to us, and that, you know, prompted depression to come into the picture. But if you've got vitamin or mineral deficiencies, and people who are living in poverty states or folks on the spectrum who have real rigid eating issues are really, really at great risk for that. And that can actually cause depression or make depression worse. And so, you know, I think it's real important for people to be thinking about that. You know, a lot of times we say, oh, go take some, you know, go to the shrink, go to the psychiatrist and get some antidepressants. Well, it's probably a good idea to rule out any vitamin or mineral deficiencies first, so those can be corrected, and that can really make a difference. The other interesting thing about that is, you know, we talked about how I was getting up and getting out of bed when I was feeling like I didn't want to. There are some studies that show that exercise works as good as antidepressants without the negative side effects, and it really increases people's mood. So if you can find a way to just get your blood pumping, get your, you know, get your lungs full of that good oxygen, and get out there and exercise, that is a hugely positive thing. When somebody's feeling down. And just being out in nature and doing the deep breathing is really good too, getting that oxygen pumping through your body. They're all things that are, you know, in addition to the traditional, you know, doing the therapy or support groups can really help some people. So
absolutely. Yes,
and
indeed.
And Eli,
yes,
you kind of hinted at, you know, how sometimes people say, well, just get over it, and how that's not really helpful when you're feeling so bad. One of the things that has really helped me is just to sit and be with the feeling, like recognize what that feeling is, and just be like, you know, you are feeling depressed, and you know what? That's where you're at right now. And that kind of gives space for, you know, for the feelings, you know, to work through the feelings, because it's not possible to just flip the switch and if you ignore it, you end up doing the drugs, the alcohol, the risky behaviors, you know, and that's definitely not helpful.
Exactly. Nothing,
actually,
nothing good
ever comes from that. Reckless behavior, having concentration problems and aches and pains in your body, those can also be signs of depression.
Yes, indeed.
So.
Absolutely. Absolutely. This has been a great show, very eye-opening. I hope the listeners have enjoyed our conversation today, which I feel, again, you know, was definitely needed, and I'm glad that you and I could share some stories and kind of put it out there, you know. With that being said, what as we close the show here, what are you up to this weekend?
Well, I am actually going to be working a little bit more on my support group, getting some things squared away for that. So we've got the support we need for folks here in South Carolina online. And that's going to be a big piece of what I do over the weekend. And then just, you know, spending time with my 8-year-old who's here and just being, you know, being in the moment with him. And I know you're going to be golfing when we get off the phone. Anything else planned for the weekend, Eli?
No, nothing planned for the weekend. I'll practice here for about 3 hours today and then come back and do maybe, I think, 4 or 5 hours tomorrow and then get ready to visit South Shore Elementary. And I'm also going to be visiting Rachel Carson Elementary next week. So I'll get ready to do those things. So I'll just kick back and when I get home, watch a little Star Trek and catch up with the little guy and the missus and get ready to do it all over again tomorrow. So that's
Sounds
my weekend
good.
In a nutshell. Yeah, absolutely. 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 Well, we thank everybody for tuning in and listening to the show today. We really appreciate the support and the love. And again, if you know somebody who's going through a tough time dealing with a depression issue, you know, try your best to be there for them. Love hard, extremely hard. They need that. And be open and don't judge. I think it's very important that we don't judge. I wish all of you a great weekend. Tony, I hope you have a fabulous upcoming week. And until next week,
same to you.
Take care. God bless. Get out there and make someone or something better. More importantly, enjoy your weekend. This was the Elijah Winfrey Show on blogtalkradio.com. Bye-bye.